Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, April 3rd, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, as always on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard DJ. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week, starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9. He is Bucky's tag team partner, the man with the bionic back, destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. I'm very excited to be here.
We've got a big show lined up tonight, man. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a lot of fun here. But before we do, I want to introduce the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the king of the power nap, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, sir, how's our resident genius?
Good. Good to be back. And good, I feel a lot smarter today, given that our president is putting a tariff on penguins.
Boy,
I'll leave it there. This is not a political show, so I'll leave it there.
Yeah, we don't have to go down that road, but yeah, I gotcha. We are going to have a run in here in a little bit. Special guest, he's running a little bit late. That's okay. We'll just rib him when he gets here, and we'll let you know when he is here. We got a big show lined up. We got a lot to talk about. This is our week where I put the guys to work and had them come up with their WrestleMania, quote-unquote, Spotify lists, and I'll explain that a little bit more in detail in a few minutes. But we want to say a Hollywood goodbye to someone we lost in the last 24 hours, and this one hits particularly my boys, my co-hosts. Myself, not as much, but my co-hosts here, this one was tough on them. We lost Val Kilmer, today's Thursday. What, Tuesday night going into Wednesday? It was April Fool's Day, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, which kind of sucked. When you first read it, you're like, ah, come on, man. It's April Fool's Day. Don't do that shit. But I think it was late, late Tuesday into Wednesday morning, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, God. There we go.
Yeah, sorry, see, Bucky, even Bucky doesn't like it. Even Bucky is in mourning right now, guys. That's okay. Guys, I'm going to let you guys take over. You guys were, you know, bigger fans than I was. Not saying I didn't like him, but this is for you guys. You guys take the floor.
Well, I mean, Rob, I'll jump in why we love him is because he was in literally all of our favorite shit. Like, he was in Top Gun. He was in Batman. For me, the Saint, I grew up on that movie, and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I don't know if you have and Tombstone. Sorry. So anyway, all those movies were like central to my adolescence. I had most of them on VHS, and the rest, you know, I would watch them anytime they're on TV. So Rob, your, what was your big thing with Matt?
The Top Gun stuff, of course. And Heat, I just watched Heat again yesterday while I was home.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Heat. Wow, I'm an idiot.
And
we all had a poster of Heat in our college dorms.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that and then Batman. And look, I have personally, I know a lot of people shit on Batman forever. I have grown to really love and appreciate that movie. And I,
If you go into the Schumacher Batman movies with the same vibe that you go into the Adam West Batman show, you will have a good time. I promise. They are good movies.
That being said, and I'll cut you guys off real quick. Supposedly Schumacher had a, a little bit darker tone in mind for that movie. And much like there is supposedly an Air cut of Suicide Squad and there was a Zack Snyder cut of Justice League, supposedly there was at least an idea, if not a fully filmed version, that was a bit different of that movie.
Well, there was a lot of Forever that ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, which like, I'm glad we didn't see that because look, to me, it was not too far into this one movie, but for me, over time, I've come to see it as kind of like the kind of perfect balance, you know, between the Adam West silliness and the more serious stuff.
It was the best. If you took every genre of Batman and put them in a blender, you get the Val Kilmer movie with all its strengths and weaknesses. But yeah. Overall, again, I'll tell you, it might not be your favorite Batman, but it is a damn good Batman movie.
And
he plays the whole haunted, like the Bruce Wayne, he plays very, very well.
His brooding Bruce Wayne was really good. Like, right. I didn't love the movie. I like it more now in retrospect. But yeah, he, I don't want to linger too long on this one movie because it got had an entire library. Say,
get more to Val. He approached that movie like seriously. He approached it as an artist. He approached, and that was kind of one of the cool things about him. If you watch his documentary Val or you know anything about him, like he's like the last of a dying breed in like with Tom Cruise is probably the last one left of just like a dude's dude movie star. I won't get into Tom's politics or anything like that, Scientology or all that. But it just in terms of the dude's always rock climbing. He's got a dirt bike and he goes out to the desert with his buddies for weeks at a time. Like he just lives that life. And then you talk to all his female co-stars who are just have nothing but glowing things to say about him as a co-star, as a person, as an actor. And like, so he was that like Hollywood dude's dude. And it's all the good parts of it, like all the parts we romanticize. He's a gentleman. He's an artist. He's sensitive. He's this. Like anyone who hasn't seen that documentary, it's called Val. It's exquisite. So sorry, Rob, go ahead.
And I guess for me, I mean, being a little older than you, I go all the way back to Real Genius.
Yes. Well, yeah, that was the first movie I saw him in.
Yeah. Look, it's a quintessential 80s movie. Like if you watched it for the first time now, you probably might think, you know, it's a little boring or some of the jokes aren't funny or whatever. But, at the time it came out, I mean, it was 80s nerd humor, like perfect.
It was a big hit for him too. It kind of put him on the map.
Yeah. And just the closing scene and they pulled like the prank of all pranks.
The actor's name, but he played the asshole reporter in Die Hard.
And he was the guy, he was the EPA guy in Ghostbusters also.
Yes, so yes.
For how, Top Gun was the quintessential 80s blockbuster, in my opinion, that was the quintessential, like, geek comedy of the, of the 80s. Because in the pantheon of, like, Revenge of the Nerds kind of stuff.
And they didn't do like some of like the really stuff that's really poorly aged. Like they didn't have any, you know, rapey stuff in there. And
there were no panty raids or anything like that.
Yeah. And there were no jokes where if you heard them, you'd be like, oh, that's really racist.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That,
right? It was fairly benign in terms of all that.
Yeah. And, so yeah.
And then, you know, he goes from he goes right into Tombstone. He's in so many like iconic movies playing iconic characters. Like Doc Holliday and Iceman are two of our generation's coolest characters, period.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. And the life.
It's like the story that I shared with you guys that Jennifer Tilly told on the audition for The Doors. Like, they're auditioning all these guys for Jim Morrison, and the only person who showed up looking like he was actually ready to do the part was Val Kilmer. And yeah, I never knew this. The guy showed up literally with no shoes on, leather pants, a shirt unbuttoned, his hair all straggly and long, like the dude, like somebody dragged Jim Morrison out of the grave. And
he rolled up in a muscle car, like blasting doors, and then jumped out of the car, skipped the line, and just walked into the audition.
Like he was Jim Morrison. Off the top of your head, is there a bigger I'm the guy moment that you can think of?
Talk about putting it on the table, man. Like,
right.
I mean, to me, that's like right up there, like when Larry Bird went up at the 3-point contest and said, okay, which one of you motherfuckers is coming in second?
Right. And then proceeded to win said 3-point contest.
Yeah.
Val walked right out of the car, pointed at the fences, and hit the home run. It was great. What a great story.
And then, you know, the talk, and forgive me, I can't remember her name, but the co-star in one of his movies, she was nervous about doing like a nude scene, and he was like, no, we're not doing the nude scene. And like, we're not making it sexual. And they were eating ribs in bed and like just enjoying themselves. And they got the same, like, these people are in love. They got that same message across in a scene that she was comfortable with.
And that's important because, and I'm not sure what movie you're talking about or when the movie was, but this is a time when, you know, people weren't protecting women the way they should have. And for there to be somebody that was doing that and conscientious of that just speaks volumes, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's an icon. I'm going to watch. And I know we went over it and I bring it up probably way too much, but wow. I'm so glad he got that scene in Top Gun.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you until the day is long, like that he was an actor just right back in his zone, pitching 100 miles an hour over the plate. Like, that scene was so important to the movie and he nailed it. So just incredible, incredible stuff. And we'll have that forever. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yep. So again, Val Kilmer, rest in peace, man. 65 is way too young. Yeah. That sucks. That really sucks, especially when you obviously had more to give to the world and to your industry. So,
but hey, 65 years, well fucking lived.
Yep. And you take that away from it. You know, you can live for 65 years or you cannot. And he chose to live. So, all right. We are in hot into WrestleMania season. We're going to talk some wrestling here. And I know we've been teasing it here for a couple weeks, and I want to get down to this now. I posed an idea to the boys a few weeks back about, you know, around WrestleMania, everybody does their top 10 list, their top 10 favorite WrestleMania matches, what they think are objectively the top 10 best WrestleMania matches. Some people will break it down by superstar, some people by tag team, some people by whatever their criteria may be. I posed something a little bit different to the guys, and it is still a top 10 list, but it's more of a, think of it like a Spotify playlist. You've been watching WrestleMania for years, and you thumb up matches that are either resonate with you for emotionally, you just thought they were flat out fun, you laughed, you got emotionally involved, whatever the case may be, you thumbed them up over the years. Now you've got a day off from work and you're going to sit down and you can watch 10 of your favorite WrestleMania matches from that playlist. You've built a playlist for 41 years. Now you've got a Saturday and you can sit down and you can watch 10 of your favorites on that particular day. Keep in mind, I imagine that this list for all three of us is a fluid list. And if we come back to this in 2 months, it'll be a little bit different. There may be certain matches that I'll keep on mind forever, but there are other matches that got omitted simply because my mood at the time was like, okay, today, if I had to watch this today, this is the match that I would watch. So that's kind of what I posed it to the guys, come up with a list of 10 matches. The only criteria that I had, one definite match is your opener, one definite match is your main event,
and you cannot use the same wrestler in more than one match. And I did that so that Jason wouldn't have Roman Reigns in 10 matches on his sheet.
I mean, he in the 1,316-day reign, he successfully defended the title 38 times or 34? Something like that?
So I get three or four WrestleManias, so.
Three or four WrestleManias, so I could get four, oh yeah, it's only WrestleMania, but still.
Yeah,
I could get
WrestleMania. We're in WrestleMania season, buddy. We're not in Backlash season. We're not in, you know, Fastlane season. We're not in Great Balls of Fire season.
It would be every match you want, then.
Yep. So we're going to do this. We're going to start this off here since our special guest is still not here yet. You know what? I would love to do something super cool like EJ did and have a spin the wheel and figure out which one of us goes first. I don't have that availability, so I'm going to pick one of you at random. But before we get started, do we want to each one of us just do our all 10, or do we want to do like around the room with each one?
I want to do all 10 because I kind of did it in an order. I mean, I built a playlist, like a YouTube playlist.
Works perfect for me. Then, Jason, since you spoke up, we'll start with you.
Okay. First off, I built it like a playlist, but I kind of did build it like a card because, you know, with DJ's rule of using only one, you know, one wrestler, using a wrestler only once, that, so I was like, okay, and the way we watch things, people build YouTube playlists, and if I'm just gonna hit play, how do I want this to go? And no, I don't want 10 Roman Reigns matches, or like, if I watched all the Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns matches, I might have a heart attack by like the fourth one, you know? So, because I'm just going to be so damn excited. So I kind of built it like a card and like a playlist. And last little thing that I said for mine personally, I was envisioning that if it's on your playlist, it is from the promo video before it to whenever the camera went to the next thing on WrestleMania. So if there's a promo video after, then that's part of it and all that. And that is important, for a couple of these matches. But anyway, I started off with, last thing, all my WrestleManias are in the 30s because that's when I started watching again. And I didn't watch any WrestleManias live when I was a kid. So, WrestleMania 32, we have the Intercontinental Ladder match. So it's Zack Ryder, Kevin Owens, Kevin Owens is the Intercontinental Champion walking into this. Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, Miz, Sami Zayn, Sin Cara, and Stardust. It was awesome because every guy had a thing, you know, had a spot in the match, and then the Miz fake out with Zack Ryder at the end was incredible. And next up, it was, you know, who do I want to watch wrestle in this, you know, 10 match thing? So I had Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi defeating Damage Control at WrestleMania 40, because just for the entrances alone, great, we're already cooking with gas here. And then next up, I tried not to take things too seriously, Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania 38. And I just realized
that one made my list as well.
And I just realized I broke the rule, so that's really dumb on my part, but... Oh, well, I'm sorry, guys. I intentionally broke the rule later, but you'll find that out in a second. Anyway, that match is just incredible. It's everything. Again, if you did not smile during that match, then you and I watched wrestling fundamentally differently. Next up, I had Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 38, and because of just, it's fucking awesome. Cody comes back. The American Nightmare is here. It's Kingdom. The match was awesome. They had a real, like, it could have been just a showcase of 5 minutes and Cody hits the crossroads, but it was not that. So it was awesome. And yes, I had Stardust in that other match, but Stardust and Cody Rhodes, as we know, are two different people. Stardust once saw Cody Rhodes fishing on the Alaskan archipelago. Cody Rhodes, at that time, had grown a full beard. We've still never seen pictures, but I believe Stardust.
I love how Jason has implemented the Mick Foley rule on this list.
You know, and in kayfabe, Come on, man. I gotta play along a little bit here.
All right, I'll allow it.
Like, the Sami Zayn was a total F up on my part, and now I'm just not going back to kind of mess with my card. So I apologize for that profusely, but I do not apologize for Stardust and Cody Rhodes. Next up, we had Braun Strowman and Nicholas defeat the Bar at WrestleMania 38. Because again, if you don't enjoy that match, you and I watch wrestling fundamentally differently, and we get to watch Braun Strowman destroy some men, which is always great. And then we get into main event time, because the rest of my matches are all main event worthy. Because we had Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker at WrestleMania 30, because I just enjoy that match profusely just because of how it ended and just what it means to history. And the match was actually really good, in my opinion, because most Brock Lesnar matches are. Then next up we had John Cena versus The Fiend at the Firefly Funhouse at WrestleMania 36. Once again, this is my playlist. Anything with, you know, wrestling, you know, spooky wrestling and, you know, set piece wrestling is always going to, you know, win in my book. And it was a ton of fun. And it's also fun to look at now, especially with John Cena turning heel, as The Fiend predicted one day, would one day happen. And then next up, Rob, this one was especially for you. I had Becky Lynch defeating Ronda Rousey and Charlotte at WrestleMania 38, because honestly, the match was a ton of fun. And that was when Rousey was still like, wow, it's awesome that she's here. And I don't really care that they botched the ending.
You know what? That feud had some of the best build up. Like, I will die on the hill that was one of the best built women's WrestleMania matches of all time, simply because of that backstage segment with Ronda handcuffed in the back of the squad car and Charlotte booting her face right off of her face. Just absolutely incredible. Amazing. I love that.
And of course, that will be in the video package before the match, which will be part of my playlist. So there you go. And then next up, I had, yeah, it's kind of a palate cleanser before the main event, because I had kind of two main events in a row, was The Rock versus Eric Rowan at, what was that, WrestleMania 32? Because, and again, if we do all the stuff beforehand, we get, you know, Bray Wyatt being creepy and weird, and we get The Rock coming out with a flamethrower and all that stuff, and then the match is all of, you know, 8 seconds, and we're out of there. And The Rock gets to, you know, do his Rock stuff. So, great. And then last up, this was tough. I had to pick one, and we know it wasn't. Second place would have been Cody and Roman at WrestleMania 39, but unfortunately I've already used Cody Rhodes, and I do like that match on this playlist a little bit better. And I still have to admit, this might be my favorite Roman Reigns match. Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 37, smash stack pinning Daniel Bryan and Edge, because he pinned two people. He fucking pinned two people. Two Hall of Famers, and he didn't just pin them out of nowhere. He called his shot, pointed at the fences like Babe Ruth, pointed at the WrestleMania sign and said, I'm going to smash them. I'm going to stack them on top of each other. I'm going to pin them both, and I'm going to stay a Universal Champion. And he did exactly that. All four shoulders, and it wasn't even like close to a gimmick or like a whatever or like a sketchy looking thing. No, bro. All four shoulders were on the mat. Roman Reigns was on top in a pinning position. Like, it was an absolute piece of artistic wonder.
So, and the Rated Edge Super Cope, Adam Hardcastle, is still in his feelings over that one.
Is he?
Yeah, he was talking, and so I read a piece with him earlier that he said his feud with Roman Reigns, he kind of felt like he was just another guy.
I mean, it's not entirely inaccurate. It should have, it, I don't know. Daniel kind of just got in there. So, yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, pretty solid playlist, Jason. There's some good stuff in there.
Thank you.
And you know what? The Firefly Funhouse, I got too many F's. I'm tongue tied here.
Excellent match, excellent call, and that got me to thinking. This one actually ended up on my honorable mentions was the Boneyard match, which I'll defend. Yeah. And I'll defend a lot of the cinematic matches to the
death. You don't have to defend it. I mean,
yeah, we don't need to defend it because anyone making fun of that or like poo pooing that is not worth our time.
Yeah. So, no, that good call on those matches, Jason. Really good call.
Thank you.
All right, Rob, you want to go next?
Sure. Okay. All right. So, all right. My opening match is from last year. It's, Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton versus Logan Paul. And honestly, because for me, just to see the I Show Speed get kicked in and the bottle cap fly off his head, throw him over the table and give him an RKO on the table. That alone, you know, I've watched that like a million times. I mean, and, yeah, so, I mean, and then look, the match was really good on its own, but that part, I mean, just, that just, you know, absolutely settles it for me. So, next is another one. If you've listened to me talk about WrestleMania matches, this one's always been a guilty pleasure of mine. It is the Hart Foundation versus the Bolsheviks from WrestleMania 6.
I love how Rob loves that match.
You know, because Nikolai Volkov is doing the extended version of the Russian national anthem, and Jim Neidhart is just not here for that shit.
I don't get paid by the hour, pal.
Yeah, and he just runs across the ring and just lays him out, and then Brett just jumps in like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing. and you know, and they like clean him up in like 30 seconds, and then and I always pop when Brett pins somebody and he counts three to the camera. I always pop for that. I always love
that. Yeah, it was a great, great, great call.
And so that's my second match. And then from there, we go to WrestleMania 17 and the TLC match with the Edge and Christian and the Dudleys and the Hardys. I've watched that one a million times.
This one made my list as well.
And it is insane what those guys did to each other during that match. And honestly, you know what? I mean, there've been a million TLC matches since then. Yeah, I don't think anyone's really topped that. He's not, like the tag team ones anyway.
Nope, they haven't.
So then after that, we go to the Undertaker versus Batista. And that was, I missed that whole period. I was not watching during the Ruthless Aggression era. And so I've occasionally gone back and watched some of the stuff that I missed. And I was watching WrestleMania 23 ones, and they got to that match, and I didn't know the card, I was just watching it. And they got to that, and I was like, oh, this might not be very good. Because Batista is kind of, you know, it all depends on who he's in there with. It can be really good, or it can be like, okay.
Have you ever seen Dare Hell in a Cell match?
No, I haven't watched that yet.
Let's put a pin in that. Let's do a watch along on that in after Mania season. Cause that's really freaking good.
Yeah. And, so, you know, Batista was all kind of 50-50. And then Taker, most of the time he was good, but then if he was in there with somebody who was not very polished or not very good, then it might not have been very good. So I was ready for the worst. And then as I watched this match, I was like, oh shit, this is outstanding, you know? And then, all right, so what I'm calling like the big middle, like the, you know, sometimes they have like one of the really bigger matches, like smack dab in the middle of the card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the triple threat from WrestleMania 32, Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha. And if y'all listen to the show, y'all know why I picked
that. That one was on my list and I changed it around and I'll explain why when I get onto mine.
Well, because the only thing about picking that is, and you can't pick, you can't pick, if you wanted to pick Sasha versus Bianca, you can't do that. If you wanted to pick Becky versus Bianca, you can't do that, you know.
That part.
Yeah. So so going from that one, I went to, Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville for all the reasons I said. I mean.
We all had that on our list.
Yes. And so we go from this really silly match to I go to Austin versus Rock from WrestleMania 17. And then from there, I go to one of my what I'll call just underrated WrestleMania matches. It's from WrestleMania 19, Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho. And it was funny because I totally forgot that that match even happened. Because with, you know, WrestleMania 19, everyone was thinking about, you know, well, Austin and Rock had their last match, and then, you know, the Hogan-Vince match, and then everybody remembers like when the moonsault with Brock in the main event where he landed wrong. So this, this match just gets completely forgotten. And it was actually Shawn's first WrestleMania back. So, but it was really good. And that, and like I was, it was a card carrying Jericho Holler.
We all were during that time, man. That match was excellent.
Yeah. And from there, we go to Brock versus Goldberg from WrestleMania 33. And again, you know, for my money, one of the best sub 5 minute matches ever. They just went all gas, no breaks for like 4.5 minutes. And it was excellent. And then finally for the main event, Roman and Cody from WrestleMania 39. And if you're wondering why, if you're wondering why I don't pick WrestleMania 40, it's because I don't like to watch my favorite people lose. I don't, you know, sorry, I don't care. Look, it can be 5-star, whatever, whatever. I don't like watching my favorite people lose. So, I'd rather watch the match for Roman 1.
All right. Well, those are all good calls. And you can definitely understand the women's matches because there haven't been nearly as many women's matches. You got to really kind of pick and choose which ones are your favorites, or else you're going to have to overlap because only so many women.
Especially with me, like I've only really got the 30s and 40s under my belt. Like,
yeah.
If I pick one of these matches, well, that eliminates like all of these matches because one of these people is in it.
Yeah, some of these women were in multiple main event, or not main event, but multiple WrestleMania matches. So it made it rather difficult, but that's kind of what makes the exercise so fun. It makes you kind of think. And ladies and gentlemen, just in the nick of time, we have a run in on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Going to go ahead and introduce this guy. He is the unofficial fourth chair of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Unretired and retired more times than Ric Flair. Host of the Outsider's Edge podcast, co-host of, and he's frozen now. We'll see if he comes. We'll see if he's unfrozen now. He is just man of a thousand. I can't even say that because that's Tunney's tagline. Anyway, he is the yin to Rob's yang, the pain in Rob's ass, Mr. Ray Cash. Sir, he's come to hang out with his daddy tonight. Welcome to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He froze up again. Ray, are you there, buddy?
I'm here, man. I'm driving, so I'm probably going to go through a couple of dead spots. But what's up, guys?
Hey, not much, man. Welcome to the show. You actually caught us 2/3, and now that you're here, 3/4 of the way through doing our list. Rob literally just finished with his. Jason did his prior to that. Do you have your list handy, or do you want me to do mine?
I have mine. I'm pulling it up now.
All right. If you want to go ahead and get yours in just in case we lose you, you can do that.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, good to see all you boys. Jason, I ain't talking to you in a minute. How you doing, my boy?
I'm wonderful, my friend. It's good to hear your voice.
Yours too, my man. Yours too. Rob, it's always not a pleasure to talk to you, but nonetheless.
Yeah, I hate you too, man.
Ray, how you seriously though, how you been? It's been a minute since you've been on here. How you been?
It has been a minute. I'm blessed, man. I'm good. I've been running like a Kenyan right now, like a Kenyan in a marathon, bro. So I'm just trying to make it, dog. But I'm doing my thing, just keeping busy. Yeah, man, just keeping busy. But I mean, can I take this second to plug some real fast?
You go right ahead and do what you're gonna do.
So, ladies and gentlemen and people of all ages, you know it is we're on the verge of Wrestling Christmas, that we like to call WrestleMania Week. And during that week, me, myself, and us over here at the Chair Shot want to give you a little something special, a little something nice, a little something extra as you enjoy your WrestleMania week. So, for the everyday WrestleMania week, you get the luxury of hearing my dulcet, well, not quite dulcet, my tenor tones every day. We're calling it Cashamania. Every show that I've been a part of over my career, I am bringing back. Every person that I've worked with, for the most part, I am bringing back. We will have a brand new show every day. The Outsider's Edge will be back. Ricky and Clive and Friends will be back. The Total Package with a certain bearded fellow will be back. I got the State of Black Wrestling bringing back Chris Platt and Kenny Killer and some dude from Baltimore or DC or wherever he's from.
Get it, man. Get it right. That's where I grew up. I live outside. Hey,
I'm a North. Baltimore's North, right? Maryland?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm a North Maryland guy. You know, we don't rock with them Southsiders. Yeah, but no, man, I got four shows coming. Actually, more like 10 because me and DJ got to record a few. But yeah, I got a Hall of Fame special coming with my boy Big Dave. Yeah, man, we're doing big things. I got a lot coming. Got a lot of stuff for you. Badlands with the big homie Mags from across the pond. Yeah, man, I'm doing big things. So shout out to that. Shout out to y'all. Appreciate y'all rocking with us. All three of the guys here on this show have helped contribute to that Hall of Fame show we're doing. So we got some cool stuff on the way for y'all WrestleMania week. So hopefully we can give you a soundtrack to the week for you guys to enjoy. So with that being said, so what do you want me to just go through my list?
Yeah, just go through. That's what we're doing. Each one of us is just going through our list, starting with your opening all the way down to your main event.
Okay. So my opening match is what I think is the best opener in WrestleMania history. WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. Man, talk about a show that just set the scene. You know, I'm a story guy. The wrestling was great. The story told in the ring was great. But that's one of the best wrestling stories ever told. The B plus player who wasn't supposed to be breaking through and becoming the guy, but having to get through the boss to get to his job. Beautiful story, especially Triple H jumped the dude out to the match, stretched him out. Beautiful match. I ain't gonna front with you boys. I forgot to put it in a order of a card. I have my opening gonna have my finisher, so I'm just gonna kind of run through them in some form or fashion. Second, I think I'm gonna go with the hardcore match from WrestleMania 22, I believe. Edge versus Mick Foley.
Oh, that's a good one.
Number one, I don't know who Cope is, but Edge, yeah, I'm going to call him Edge. I love that match so much because it's one thing when you have great performers. It's another thing when you have a great stip. It's a whole nother thing when you have two guys that have something to prove. Edge needed to prove to Vince and the boys that he was a true main eventer and worthy of being an actual champion coming off of Money in the Bank. And Foley needed to prove that he was still relevant and he could have a great match on the biggest stage. Shout out to Lita, who played a great role in that match. So I'm going to go, that was my second match. I'm going to go with a world championship match for my number three. And yes, I have to defer to my big brother, Rob. I'm going to go with Charlotte versus Rhea at WrestleMania 39. I believe that was at 39 in L.A. The match at 37 wasn't bad. Just no fan. But I love how Rhea came back and was a completely different performer, a completely different character, and actually made Charlotte respect her in that build. They both, not many people can look at Charlotte in her eyes from a size perspective. And Rhea and her are practically the same size. So athleticism versus raw power, it was a kind of a bit of a war of attrition. It's just a classic match. Right person won. Great story. Right amount of time told. I'm going to go with that with my third match. And then I'm going to go with what I think is the greatest match of all time. Me personally, many people may disagree, but WrestleMania 17, not 17, WrestleMania 21, Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels. I think this is the perfect wrestling match in every way. First and foremost, this is the type of build I like in WrestleMania. Two people who ain't got shit to do that have beef because they ran into each other in the wrong time. And we're going to work from there. And Shawn, I think, is the greatest in-ring dude of all time, personally. I mean, respect to baby Daniel Bryan. But Shawn's my guy. Kurt may be the best in-ring technician with respect to Bret Hart and that dude we don't talk about no more. And the fact that these dudes had never had an actual one-on-one match up to this point, and they just had a freaking classic. The last 5 minutes of that match, when you think of selling and
I think we lost Ray again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can now. I can now. You were talking about selling.
Yeah, someone, sorry, man. Someone called me. But you think of selling and portraying emotion, trying to pull something from the crowd, trying to elicit a feeling from you with nothing else but your facial expressions. Shawn being stuck in the ankle lock for like 5 minutes. I mean, I thought the boy's leg was broke. It was beautiful, beautiful selling. So we're going to go with that with number five. But number four.
You left out a very important detail to that match, Ray.
What's that?
4 3/4 stars from Dave Meltzer.
Dog, don't charge me up, bro. Come on, man.
let's don't get him going.
Don't charge me up with that bullshit. Trash. Will Ospreay has 17,000 approximately 5 stars, but Kurt can't get one. Come on, dog. Anyway, number five, we need some shenaniganry, right?
Yes.
We need some craziness, right?
Yes.
Number five, we're going to go with, I know we don't talk about the dude no more, but one of my favorite matches, just from a craziness perspective, Vince McMahon versus Shane McMahon, WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
Talk about a fun match. Talk about two dudes who ain't got no business going out there and doing what they did and telling the story, putting their bodies on the line. This is the first time we got a chance for Shane to see Shane do the Van Terminator. Man, Linda McMahon standing, being catatonic and then standing up. I still, y'all might think it's hyperbole. I swear, I promise you it's not. I've watched wrestling religiously since I was 5, 6 years old. I'm 36, or 30 years. I've gone back and seen old shit. I've watched everything recent and since my lifetime. I can't name you 5 moments in my life where the crowd erupted in the way that they did when Linda got out that chair.
Oh, they went, and that was one of those had to be there for it moments.
Dog, the crowd lost. To quote an old friend of mine, they went banana pancakes. They lost their mind. Great story, great match. Underrated part of the match, Mick Foley as ref. He played a great role in that too. Great match. And one thing about the old man, he was always willing to take an ass whooping for the story, and he got his ass whooped.
Yeah.
We're going to go with that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say it's a shame that his legacy is what it is, because there's some – Vince McMahon, I won't even go into it. Just go ahead and continue.
Yeah, I know, man. It's not worth it. So that's number five, right? That's five or six? That's five?
I think that was five.
All right. So we're going to go from one car crash to another. We're not going to let you people sit back and just rest on your laurels. So we gave you a bit of a brawl. Now we're going to bring some tables, some ladders, and some chairs in the mix. The greatest tag team match of all time, TLC 2. Let's go out there and we're going to steal the show for real. The Dudleys, the Hardys, Edgy Christian. We're going to see the tallest DDT of all time. Just a great six guys who went out there and said, literally, I'm going to make myself a star or I'm going to die trying. And they tried to die and still made themselves stars. All six of them. Great match. And one of the most underrated parts of this match to me, and yes, this match involves other people, Lita, Spike, Rhino, But the most underrated part of this match to me is how beautifully they interwove TLC 1 and the original triangle ladder match. Yes. All three of these matches tell a beautiful story because there are so many Bubba falling off the top of the ladder going through the tables. That happened in both of the TLCs. The first, like, there's a story being told. It's not just dudes out there with weapons just going out there to just see what they can do. They actually were trying to tell stories in the match. Beautifully done. That's going to be my sixth match in a row, my sixth match on the card. Seven, we needed to bring it down a bit, and we need to get a little serious. And it's interesting I brought up the Hall of Fame because this is the first match ever inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret Hart, submission match, WrestleMania 13. Shout out to Ken Shamrock being the ref.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Coming off of the emotional roller coaster you get from Vince and Shane and the car crash you get from TLC 2, right after that, a little bit of a come down with this cerebral chess match between two of the best ever that is a beautiful way to bring submission wrestling to the fold. But as vicious as you could possibly imagine, just beautifully done. Don't need to talk to you guys about how great this match is because it's going in the freaking Hall of Fame. The visual of Stone Cold, blood from a stone, that face, probably one of the top five visuals in wrestling history is on a damn t-shirt. The best double turn maybe ever. Just mwah, mwah. And then we're going to go, you got to have an unsacred match, right? WrestleMania.
Yep.
I decided to go outside of the box. I could have went with Triple H, but I didn't go there because he's in the Bryan match. I could have went with Shawn, but I didn't go there because he's in the Angle match. I could have went a whole bunch of ways, but the most underrated Undertaker match of all time to me at WrestleMania, WrestleMania 29 versus CM Punk. CM Punk, a guy who was on his way out the company, who didn't give a shit, didn't even want that match, boy came to work. He put his working shoes on, not just for the match, but for the feud, because Paul Bearer just died, and that him, Punk and Paul Heyman, and of course, with respect to Taker and Percy Pringle's family, Paul's family, they took such a terrible, sad story and found a way to make it passionate, interesting, funny. I mean, my boy throwing the playing catch and hot potato with the urn, dropping it. All that's just beautifully done. Living color performing my boy to the ring. And what I love about this match the most is other than Triple H and Shawn, who, of course, they grew up with the dude, right? This is the first time I've ever saw someone not only scared of Undertaker, but wanting Taker. Punk was like begging for Taker to come to the ring so he could have a match. Just a fun, fun match. Not a crazy amount of stakes. It's a perfect match to come out to those three high impact matches. Loved it. Now we got to close the show, right? Got to have 9 and 10. So we're going to close the show with two world title matches. Number 9 is the best women's match to ever close at WrestleMania, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Mercedes Moné, Banks, Bernardo, Kastner, Mandalorian person. I could literally speak for 10 minutes about what this match means to me as a black man and as a father of four girls. I'm not going to take your time. You know what it is. We watched the match. The fact that these ladies, first and foremost, these ladies earned the spot. Not only did they earn the spot, but I was talking to a friend of mine, Damagzi, the other day, and he said it perfectly. They didn't earn the spot as black wrestlers or women's wrestlers or black women's wrestlers. They earned the spot as wrestlers. They had great years. They were tremendous in the ring, on the mic, through storytelling. They earned this match. And it's one thing to earn that spot. Another thing to deliver while you're in that spot. And they freaking delivered, bruh. I still remember the spot where Sasha did the dive onto Bianca. She caught her, put her in the suplex, and literally walked her from outside the ring, up the stairs, into the, like, just stupid, stupid strength. And then, of course, that's the first time we ever heard her hit someone with that crazy hair whip that put that whip on old girl's stomach forever. So that's number nine, and then we're going to end it with the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time. Hyperbole, I know. But throw your ones up, my boy, because we're talking about Roman versus Cody, WrestleMania 40. Now, I know we here at the Mindless Wrestling Podcast are a very, very strong Roman Reigns. I know, Jason. I'm sorry. But this is the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest story ever told to me. I just don't think, pardon the pun with story, given Cody's whole finish the story thing, right? Pardon the pun. But a 3-year story, this dude coming back after he left the kingdom and built his own and came back as the conquering hero. If you're a biblical man, the prodigal son, coming back and made himself into the man he always thought he should have been, calling his shot, his first real night back in the company, come for the title my daddy never got. You know who holds that title? Roman, when he says wrestling has more than one royal family, he's talking about the McMahons. But you could argue he's talking about the NOI family, too. And who's the crown jewel of the NOI family? Big, big Roman, right? And, brother, to tell that story for my man to win the Royal Rumble, to lose at 39 the way he lost, to bring it back.
I think we lost our boy again. Hold tight. Hold please.
Yeah, that's all time we got for you, Ray. Sorry. Yeah, I guess we
lose the Rock on night one. Lose the Rock on night one. Come back and finish that story with the Avengers. I mean, Avengers Endgame for WWE. Beautifully done, man. That's my card.
Okay, that's some solid stuff on there. And much like me, Jason and Rob, you and I had a couple of overlaps. So yeah, it's solid stuff, man. Really good, really good list there, buddy. So
one in and out. I apologize.
We got everything we needed. You cut out there for a second, towards the end of your last match, but we got
next time. Pay your cell phone bill, okay?
I'm drinking, fool. What,
ladies and gentlemen, coming at you via Cricket Wireless is Ray Cat.
Hey, but you know what, DJ? I can't be mad at my boy Rob because they don't drive in D.C. They don't know what cars are. They take public transit. We got to drive.
All right. Before these two guys start coming at each other, I'm going to go down my list here. Let's get this thing going. I kicked it off hot, man. I want the crowd hot, 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 and let them know what we're getting into with this. I opened my card with Macho Man and Steamboat from WrestleMania 3. I want people to know what they're getting with this card. That's one of the top three best matches ever in WrestleMania history. And that's probably one of the ones I've watched the most in my lifetime is Savage and Steamboat. Second up, mainly, we can talk about the finish until, you know, we're all gray and dead and gone. From WrestleMania 31, Triple H versus Sting. It's the one WrestleMania that we had with Sting. And I thought it was a hell of a lot of fun. You know, it's a, it was, you know, Triple H could still go. Sting looked as good as Sting could for the age that he was. We got the NWO versus DX at the end. It just, it was all the things that I enjoy about pro wrestling slash sports entertainment rolled into one match. The finish stunk. The finish pissed everybody off. But for every reason that I watch this ridiculous bullshit, this thing had all the ridiculous bullshit in it. My third match, and then Ray, this is where you and I overlap. Again, the single greatest pure wrestling match in WrestleMania history, Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle from WrestleMania 21. And I wholeheartedly, I don't even have to go into it any deeper than Ray did. It's simply the best wrestling match in the 41 years of the history of this event. And that's stacking it up against a lot of really good talent. My fourth one, again, Ray and I are overlapping, TLC 2 from WrestleMania 17. Again, all the things, all the reasons, all the storytelling. And again, these guys basically just got in a meeting and said, you know what, we're going to steal the show tonight. And they did. And that's a match that, again, I can put on any day of any week and watch and be just as entertained. This next match, and like I was telling the boys before Ray come on here, the women were a bit more difficult to come up with matches simply because there have only been so many WrestleMania matches that actually had women in them. And when you look at more recent history, it's a rotation of the same half dozen women, give or take a few exceptions. So you, and given the criteria that I said that you can only use the same wrestler once in a match, it made it a little difficult. I had Bianca versus Sasha. And for, again, understanding the importance of the match, and that would notwithstanding, the match itself is a classic. For me personally, I think Bianca versus Becky ekes it out just a little bit more. Because Bianca has fully blossomed at this point. And she, for me, she solidifies her place in the main event scene, in the women's division. And I think we just lost Ray.
Ray was outraged at that.
He was outraged that I didn't choose that one. Okay, Ray's back. Ray, are you still with us?
Look, Ray broke out. Ray stopped to call Al Sharpton on you, man. That's what he did.
he called Al Sharpton on me.
Wow.
But yeah. It's about to get hot in here.
Wow.
So yeah, Becky and Bianca from WrestleMania 38. My sixth match, we got to have some silly. We got to have some funny. We got to have some sports entertainment. Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville from WrestleMania 39.
That one I was on my list. That one I was on my
list. I will defend this match with my life until the day I die. This is artwork. And God bless Sami Zayn for giving us this, because it really is simply one of the most entertaining things ever in a WrestleMania, and if not ever, which may be a little bit of hyperbole, definitely of the last 10 to 15 years.
Yes.
Like, yes. Without question. From there, and again, same match, same spot on the card.
I just want to jump in, because we all had it. It had a little person, and it had a bowling ball to the nuts. Like,
it had a mouse trap.
Yeah.
Like, they finished with a mouse trap. How cool is that?
Oh, and don't forget the giant hand.
Dude, that took me out. I didn't even see that shit coming. When he got hit with the giant hand, man, I fell out laughing. I love that match. God bless Sami Zayn. In the same exact spot on the card, again, we're going to make things, as Ray said, we're going to make things a little serious here. We've got some high stakes. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin versus the Hitman Bret Hart from WrestleMania 13. Just a master class in storytelling. Not only from the build, because, you know, we've had Austin versus Hart for months and months and months of build. It finally culminates here. And this is the best part of the match. Stone Cold lost, but he didn't. And that's so brilliant. So many people, like, in 2025, the internet would be all over Stone Cold was buried. Stone Cold was buried. Bret Hart didn't need the win. Steve Austin needed the win. Steve Austin did more with that moment than anybody in the history of wrestling could have. Absolutely made him, and just the trajectory he went on after that was just is just beyond words. So yeah, and that one was number seven on my list.
And DJ, the craziest about that match is if you people don't remember the build up. Stone Cold Steve Austin was the most despicable human being in the history of human beings
The
lead up to that match.
Yet
he walked out being cheered.
That it's one of the best stories they've ever told, and they couldn't have found two guys better to do it. Number eight. Okay, so number eight for me was going to be Charlotte versus Sasha versus Becky. And then I thought about it. I'd already kind of used Becky, and I was trying to find a spot for Sasha, but it just didn't happen. My number eight spot is Charlotte versus Asuka, WrestleMania 34, the end of Asuka's streak. And one, it was an excellent match. You know, just two of the best women, if not best wrestlers in the world, on the grand stage. And I don't think people realize how important it was to end Asuka's streak. Because as Rob has said on this show many, many, many times, there is no satisfying way to end an undefeated streak. And I think if you're going to do it, you have to send the best woman's wrestler on your roster to go out there and beat Asuka. And there was nobody other than Charlotte Flair to do that.
And I might add, just as a side note, I'm really glad they got the loss out of the way for Jade so we don't have to...
Yep, rip the Band-Aid off and we don't have to have this discussion.
Yeah.
And they did it with, what's his name, Penta the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now we don't even have to worry about that discussion anymore because Penta's been pinned, and I love it.
Yep.
So my number nine match, co-main event, Roman and Brock from 31, the heist of the century. And there are several reasons why I love this match. One, my boy Seth Rollins cashed in and had a big moment there. But more importantly for me, this was the night that solidified Roman Reigns for me. I was on the fence with Roman Reigns. Like, I liked the guy. I saw the vision, but he wasn't there yet. He got there this night and then some. Like, Roman punched it into the end zone and then just kept on running with it on this night. He was so goddamn good. And I finally saw the performer that I knew was buried in there come out that night. And Brock dragged it out of him. It's absolutely one of my favorite all-time WrestleMania matches. And I'll go back and watch that one again any day of the week. My main event, and this one was this one was so tough because I'm looking at my honorable mentions and any one of these guys could have been my main event. Is one of those you had to be there moments. Again, we're talking about a double turn that was actually unintentional. WrestleMania 18, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock. This match for one night, Hogan turned back the clock. He turned back the clock. He was able to be that guy one more time. And the way the crowd turned on The Rock, because at this point, Hogan's still doing Hollywood Hogan. Hollywood Hogan. And the NWO is still a thing. And he goes into this match a heel. And in the middle of the match, the crowd completely turns on him. They're booing. When The Rock takes off the belt and starts whipping Hogan, the crowd is just all over. They're down Rocky's throat. And even The Rock has told this story. He's like, we had to switch on the fly. Because we didn't anticipate the crowd turning on us the way they did. And even Cody Rhodes has gone on record in his personal playlist. This is his greatest WrestleMania match of all time. And, you know, I have to agree with it for those simple reasons. You had Vince's biggest creation versus Vince's other biggest creation in what really was a once-in-a-lifetime match. And for me, that's why that one made my main event.
Hey, man, I struggled where I should put Terry. Cause I was gonna put Rock versus Rob's favorite wrestler. I was gonna put that on there, but I wasn't quite, you know, I didn't want to get a boy any love. Y'all didn't catch that shot I threw out there.
Yeah, Rob's favorite wrestler. And this opens up a little, we don't have to go too deep in the woods here, but this opens up another discussion because another match that I wanted to put on here, because it's a match that I, again, unashamedly love, was McMahon and Hogan from WrestleMania 19, the street fight. That match is just, it's brutal. Like, both guys got busted wide open, and the storytelling here was two decades old. You know, we're talking about, you know, the story between Hogan in Vince's little twisted psychotic mind, Hogan turned on him, went to work for the competition, tried to end him, tried to bury him. So in Vince's head, he's got every reason to try and kill this man. And in this match, he tried to kill this man. And Hogan, for his, to all his credit, tried to kill his ex-boss or his boss. You know, so you had all this great storytelling going on in there. And the visual of Vince McMahon rising up at the apron with this just like, top five moment in WrestleMania history. So, yeah, it's like I said, it was hard to – again, we don't talk about Hogan or McMahon in very high regard these days for very obvious reasons, but – I had to find a spot for – not that I had to find a spot for Hogan, but I cannot deny that Rock and Hogan, the importance of the moment and that match.
Look, I had a few Hogan matches kind of next up. I mean, like, look, Hogan-Andre is still one of my favorite matches to watch. Because we talked about this before, just the way they told the story in that match, and they built just up to the big body slam spot, they just – I mean, that's how you build up to a spot. If you want to see how you build up to one spot in a match, watch that one. Because they spent 10 minutes building to a body slam. And when they hit it, you know, 93,000 people went crazy.
It's because they stuck the landing on the spot.
Yes. So, and I think Hogan Warrior is one kind of in my next up list. Look, I'm not afraid. Look, I'm not afraid to give, you know, the guy was one of the greatest in-ring workers of all time. Like, we don't have to lie and say that he wasn't. Okay. We don't have to lie. Okay. Just like, look, OJ Simpson was one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. Okay. He was not a bum just because he went out there and because he killed two people later.
Allegedly.
Yeah, he did that shit, man. All right.
Allegedly.
Look, the LAPD did a terrible job of gathering evidence, and the prosecution did a terrible job of presenting the case. So, yes, he absolutely should have walked in that
case. All right. Lord knows that's been talked about on podcasts enough. Let's go.
But we're going for it. Hey,
my man is proving a point. Come on now.
He did that shit. But, look, the acquittal was the right because the case was terrible. So somebody should just went vigilante on his ass, okay?
Eventually, God did.
Well, yeah, but sometimes you need a little frontier justice, okay?
God just looked at us and said, "Y'all can't get it right. I'll take care of it."
Okay. But anyway, all right. Enough of that. I'm sorry.
No, but yeah, I get it with the Hogan thing. It's like we don't speak of the guy in high regard, but unfortunately, he had some. He's very important in the history of WrestleMania. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Look, you don't have Michael Jackson without Joe. Okay? I mean, sorry.
Now, so why don't we do this? We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jason and Rob, they talked last week. They are going to be live boots on the ground for Dynasty this weekend. They've added a few matches. Those guys are going to kick that around. We're going to end the show with just a general, we're 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. How are you guys feeling? We're going to go to commercial. Before we do, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts that have t-shirts represented there, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go check them out. Pick one up in soft style. Your body will thank you. The starving artists on these shows will thank you if you pick up a t-shirt. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And as always, the Chairshot Radio Network is your home for podcasting. Sports entertainment. We've got it all across the board. Ray Cash just got up here, pimped an entire thing. He's going to be doing the week of WrestleMania. We've got a show every day. The Chairshot Radio Network has a podcast for you each and every day and a little something different depending on what your tastes are. Myself, Tunney, and Dave are doing a Game of Thrones rewatch. Got a good thing going on there. Check it out. That is thechairshot.com. We're going to commercial, and when we'll be back, we're going to talk a little bit of Dynasty.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. If you listened to us last week, and I hope you did, and if you did, thank you for coming back this week. Jason and Rob are going to be boots on the ground for AEW Dynasty this weekend in Philly. Last week they talked about the card as it were, but they've added some matches now, and I'm going to let my boys take over and talk a little bit more. We're not going to go too deep into the woods, but, you know, how about the card thus far, guys?
Well, we went over, excuse me, went over the card mostly last week. So they did add three matches. And because we kind of meander on AEW, and I know our audience doesn't, you know. Well, we care because we're going. So we're going to just go over these three matches real fast. Rob, they added the Hurt Syndicate and the Learning Tree. So we got Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin defending their tag titles against Big Bill and Brian Keith. Big Bill and Brian Keith are a hilarious visual together, yes. But I don't expect this to be a win for the Learning Tree. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Rob?
No, and just looking forward to seeing Big Bill and Bobby get in the ring together and just wail on each other.
That's what we're here for.
Quick question. Is this a 5 minute and done, or are they going to go longer than that? I think it's a squash.
No, I think it'll go 10.
Sub 10. I was going to say sub 10.
Okay.
And then they added the first round matches for the Owen Hart Cup tournament. They have one women's match, Mercedes Moné and Julia Hart. I don't expect Mercedes Moné to lose, you know, being queen of the belts, especially to Julia Hart with no story. So, you know, this is Mercedes get on the card match, and Mercedes, you know, squash of the night. So good for her. Rob, do you have anything there?
No, the way the tournament brackets are set up, I don't know why they put them on the same side of the bracket, but we're going to get the Mercedes Athena match, it looked like, because they're both on the same side of the bracket. Yeah, that should be the final. That shouldn't be a semifinal, crying out loud, but whatever.
Yeah. And then
Athena not being on TV is a goddamn crime.
Well, she finally made it
on TV the other night, but the fact that she's been off TV for over a year and she's been on the paywall of honor is criminal, man.
Yeah.
The paywall.
So hopefully
of honor.
This is the heart
that's a genius exclusive right there.
Well, sorry,
the paywall of honor.
I gotta admit, I stole that from one of the guys on the Big Gold Belt podcast. That's not, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Everything's derivative. So then they also
every artist is a cannibal, match. Every poet is a thief.
That's right. They added a men's match for the Owen Hart Cup tournament. Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight. I expect obviously Ospreay to win, but the match will be fun because I like what I've seen of Kevin Knight. Rob, what do you have for that?
Well, there's a match out there on YouTube of Kevin Knight and Shelton Benjamin, and it is definitely worth watching. Kevin Knight is a really talented guy.
Yeah, I love what I see. So I'm glad I get to see him live, especially against Will Ospreay, because, you know, all right, if we're going to get crazy, let's get crazy. So, but yeah, so with all that said, Rob, of all the matches on the card, what match are you looking forward to the most?
Okay, so it goes against everything that we have called sacred on the show, but Kenny Ricochet and Speedball,
God damn it. Me too.
Between Rob's turnaround on AEW and Jason's turnaround on Drew McIntyre, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast needs to have a discussion with itself.
Because that's mine too. I'm mostly looking forward to because I'm going to be there. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to be there. Let's do all the ridiculous shit. And these three guys are going to.
God damn it, I paid for this. I want the bullshit.
Right, exactly. So it's totally different when I'm in the audience. And like we've been saying for weeks, these are three of the best guys who can get to that level and earn it and make it not just, it still will be a spot fest, but it's not just a spot fest. It will be like a Mortal Kombat match spot fest where they're throwing each other through shit. Yeah, it's going to be fun. So yeah, that's also my, I'm looking forward to that the most. So that's, you'll all get a full report of, Philly and Dynamite, and Dynasty, next week. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Ray, are you ordering this one? Are you going to watch it?
Am I what?
That's a no. Okay. So we can probably go on to the next segment.
I didn't even, so I see clips. I don't watch it regularly anymore. I just can't. Like, I know they're trying to get better. I've paid a little attention to Swerve and Mox and the Death Riders. I know he got Ricola bombed on glass. I saw Swerve kind of in his own way apologize to Hangman finally. And Swerve and Renee have been having some stuff back and forth. I know MJF thinks he's Owen Hart with the Nation, with the Hurt Syndicate. I've seen some stuff.
Did you see the Tanner this week?
Is he oranger than usual?
No, he's got Soul Man, bro.
You see the movie Soul Man? You ever heard of it?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. But he looks like Mark Merrill.
He looks like, yes, it is. It's a Mark Merrill situation here.
Hey, dial it back.
Just dial it back a little bit, Max.
For the record, just for me, when y'all go, just give a little extra love when you cheer or boo to my boy Brian Keith, hometown dude. Shout out to Greens Point, my guy. I remember watching that dude when he was 145 pounds. Like, that is a dude who I will forever in life cheer for. That's my guy straight out of the city. Been with Book forever. Never thought my boy was going to get that big shot. And, yeah, shout out to my boy, Brian Keith.
Cool. Well, whatever. Yeah,
Cheer him extra hard.
The what?
I said we'll cheer him extra hard.
There you go.
I appreciate that, man. I do. I appreciate that.
I'm probably with Ray, where as far as like AEW, I tried when they opened on Max. I really tried. I dip my head in every now and then because there are people on there that I like. But Rob, Jason, I hope you guys have fun. I love it when you guys get together. I hate it that I haven't had a chance to get together with you guys yet. So I enjoy seeing your experience together going to these things. Jason, is M going too? This is the three of you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to hearing that on next week's show because, you know, Rob's been to a couple AEW shows. He said the vibe, the energy is always fun. So, you know, looking forward. We'll have that report for you guys next week. Let's wrap the show up here. We are 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. Guys, Jason, I'll start with you. How you feeling? Are we ready?
I'm nervous.
Or do they need to do more?
I'm nervous. I'm nervous. What's going to happen with the wise man? I can't do another one like this, guys. I can't do another
one. Look at the bright side. You won't be there for this one.
Yeah, I guess.
Just to have your heart physically ripped out of you live in the building has got to be an experience.
I'm just like, man, if Punk wins this, it's just like.
Okay, but look, he's not going to pin Roman, though. He's going to pin Rollins if he wins. I mean.
Yeah, but even still, I'm just like, when he's like, yeah, 10 years of people chanting my name, I'm like, yeah, man, while I was trying to watch the show and enjoy the people in the ring, these bozos were chanting your name. Yeah, I'm super proud of you. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's just icky.
And what's interesting is, and I think it was, I forget who it was that shared the card, there's only like 3 matches per night that they've officially announced, and we're 2 weeks out. There are 4, 6 total matches announced.
7. 4 on Saturday, 3 on
Sunday. Okay, you're right. So there's 7 total matches. That's crazy. Like, we still have... We only have 2 more weeks. Are they going to fill it more? And I get why they did the matches they did, because these are the ones that have the biggest stories built around them. So you need to structure your card that allows for the most time to tell those stories, and then you build everything else around that. So I get why they're doing that, but we're really cutting it close to the wire here, guys.
Okay, well, I hope next year, I hope they never have this big of a gap between PLEs ever again. Because this is like 7, it's 7 weeks from Chamber of WrestleMania. That's the longest, like, gap ever. Like, since we went to monthly pay-per-views, that's the longest gap between something and Mania ever. And it's, you're feeling it because, like, obviously they can't turn everything up to 11 every week when you got 7 weeks of TV to do. Which, you know, they can't, but then that also means you have some weeks or some spots, at least some spots in the shows that just kind of drag or, you know, you're just trying to get through the week. And so that's kind of where I am. I mean, like, I'm not here to shit on any of it, but it's been a long gap here. And so, yeah, I mean, I am just kind of getting through it every week now, it seems, you know, and that's, you know, that's just me. And because it's such a long time in between stuff, you know.
Okay. Ray, what about you? How's your vibe now with 2 weeks left?
Oh, bro, I'm so excited. I'm extremely excited. I'm slightly disappointed though, because I'm a guy who likes matches announced ahead of time. Now, I understand no longer do you need matches to sell the house for WrestleMania for any card. Because number one, pay-per-view is already sold because it's on a network. So you got the money from that already. Excuse me. Number two, WrestleMania, the tickets went on sale this year in October. You know what I'm talking about? Like, so, the house is already going to sell because of the marquee WWE and more particularly WrestleMania. That's going to sell. You don't even need to have a match to sell that. So they can have some creative liberties with stories. I would just like to have a more defined card because I love when they preview the card and you're going through it. Like, I love that. I've always liked that. But we're going to get a lot more matches. So you clearly, there's going to be something with Braun, Penta, Dom, and Finn, probably a fatal four-way. Talked about that. Looking like we're going to get New Day versus the War Raiders for the tag titles, either on WrestleMania or on WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania. So that's coming. I wouldn't be shocked if they did something with Chad Gable and the other guy, not the same person, clearly, the Grapple Americano guy. And with the LWO folk, right? Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff still out there with that. Liv and Raquel might be defending the tag titles against Lyra and Bayley, because Liv and Bayley aren't on the card. That's definitely got to happen. The best tag team division that WWE's had in years in SmackDown right now, the Profits, the Guns, and DIY, might have some type of triple threat tag ladder match or something. That's being built. That's going to be announced here in a minute. Have they announced Drew versus Priest? Because I don't know if they've announced that, but that's
happening. That's obvious.
You can pencil that one in.
That's penciled in. Jacob Fatu versus Solo, or Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, and Braun, or something involving those four people. Something's going to happen with them at WrestleMania. So, like, we have a lot of stuff that can be announced still that hasn't been announced. Chelsea Green ain't on the card yet. They haven't announced Naomi versus Jade Cargill.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, we got a lot going on, you know, so like there's still a chance for us to have upwards of seven matches a night. They're just I'm sorry, I'll be done with this with DJ. What hurt them from a time perspective is they had this 3-week-ass-long European trip. So while the houses were great and the crowds were great, it's hard to tell the storytelling you want to tell when most of your people aren't watching live.
Yeah.
So I can understand why they wanted to wait to announce some of the secondary and tertiary matches when they got back home. Yeah. Like, for example, Monday is in Minneapolis. Gable was like, well, that's my hometown. And he's like, nope, you're sick, right? So the Americano dude is going to maybe something will be announced that night because it's in Minneapolis. That couldn't have happened if they were in Bologna. So, like, I get that.
I think the other thing that we're forgetting is that, one, WrestleMania only has so many slots. Two, we still have a SmackDown and a Raw that need to have matches. And hazard a guess that most of the people working Mania weekend will not be wrestling on Friday or Monday. They may show up. Obviously, there will be, you know, fallout for angles and storylines of, God forbid, whatever happens with Paul Heyman will be addressed on Monday night. So I would imagine some of these matches that Ray was pitching out there, like the Motor City Machine Guns, DIY, and Street Profits, may end up main eventing SmackDown. Likewise, over on Raw, you may have what we think might be a match that could be WrestleMania worthy ends up main eventing Raw. So, you know, there's 4 whole days, not including the NXT shit. There's 4 whole days of main roster stuff that they've got to fill. And it's Mania weekend. Like, they're booking this now almost like it's a 4-day WrestleMania, you know, from SmackDown to the Raw after Mania. So there's a lot to do here and a lot of opportunity for people who may not get on the Mania card to get on some much needed TV time. And from there, you can start off some new feuds because a lot of things will culminate and end definitively in WrestleMania. Other things will spin off the tail end of that into other things going into the summer. So, you know, big, big weekend for WWE, big, big weekend for us as fans between that and Stand and Deliver. We are going to be worn out by Monday night, man. It's just going to be cooked.
Tuesday night, NXT is in Vegas.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. So, yeah. So that'll be their Monday after, that'll be their quote-unquote Monday after Mania for their Stand and Deliver show. So I'm hyped, man. I'm looking at, you know, I pulled up the card as it is, not even withstanding all the other stuff they got going on. There's high stakes everywhere. Night one, Punk, Reigns, and Rollins. Gunther versus Uso. Owens versus Orton. Charlotte versus Tiffany. Night two, we've got Cena and Cody. Bianca and Ripley versus Io Sky. And this will be a fine match, but I don't think emotionally it has the kick that the rest of them do. AJ Styles versus Logan Paul. Probably one of the last opportunities we'll get to see AJ Styles on WrestleMania, given that he's given himself a 2-year window before he's going to wrap it up. If this gets him on the card and he gets one more Mania match, I'm good with it, man. I maybe would have liked somebody else like a Carmelo Hayes, but Logan Paul's going to bring people in. So.
So Logan, guys, Logan deserves a spot on WrestleMania. For whatever you think about him personally and his proclivities and whatnot.
Right.
The boy puts in work in the ring.
He's put in work, absolutely.
He can sell a match and he draws eyes and viewers and money. So like, yeah, the boy deserves a spot.
Yeah, no, I won't argue that. I won't argue that at all. So, guys, I think we had a solid show here tonight. I don't have anything else unless anybody has anything last minute.
I'm good.
Ray, you know,
you good?
You know I love you, Ray. You know that, Ray.
I love you, man. So all that trash we're talking, me and Rob recording Friday. So, like.
And, guys, let me put my boys over here. If you've listened to this show when we've had Rob and Ray on here, they may fight like brother and brother. But they've got awesome chemistry together when it counts. And with them recording together on Friday, you're going to want to check that out. You're going to want to tune into that. You're going to want to listen to it.
We fight like great uncle and nephew. Great nephew.
Well, since we're being nice, you know, see, I was going to say something nice about you, but you had to do that. Okay. You had to do that.
Lo siento, my brother. Lo siento.
Okay. No, in all seriousness, no, look, my first foray into podcasting was Ray invited me to be on Outsider's Edge. And so if you hate my guts, listeners, you can thank Ray. Okay. If you like me, you can thank Ray also. Okay.
If you think their chemistry together stinks, reach out on the app formerly known as Twitter at PC Tunney.
Yeah, send all complaints to PC
Tunney. To PC Tunney. All right, I'm going to go around the room here and thank my co-host. I'm going to start with our guest host, fourth chair there, Ray Cash, sir. Thank you for coming on, man. Love you.
Love you guys. I'm sorry for my tardiness, but yeah, y'all live on the other coast. Y'all go on Bianca time. So like, I'm in Central time.
We're on the best coast.
Oh, yeah. No. Hey,
East Coast represent.
Look, Jason, you live in Boston?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I was gonna trash the Northeast just to mess with Rob, but I won't do that because I like Massachusetts. But yeah. You know, hey, we made up a coast, and our coast is better than y'all.
Y'all better acknowledge your NBA champs.
You guys are the Gulf Coast.
Oh. Yeah, right. Look, man, it's not a real coast. I acknowledge it. Y'all have beaches. Especially DJ, you can't never complain about where you live, bro. You can walk outside and see blue water. My water's the color, the water down here is the color of Rob's jacket.
Oh, wow. See, that being said, I love Pensacola Beach, and that's on the Gulf Coast. By the way, the Florida side of the Gulf is gorgeous.
Who's from Pensacola? One more time.
Well, yep.
Tribal chief.
Tribal chief.
Yeah, tribal chief.
All right, and Bucky's tag team partner, Jason, sir, good show tonight, man.
Oh, I'm so excited for WrestleMania, guys. I can't wait. This has been a great show.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a good time.
It's great to have you on, Ray. Anytime you want, buddy.
Yeah, man. I know it's been a while since I've been able to come back on. I'm sorry. I've been busy, but
Too busy being on this podcast, being on that podcast. Oh, so pulled in so many different directions. Oh, he's such a star.
Bruh, don't do that. Come on, bro. Don't do that.
You know, it's out of love.
It's all for the love of the game, man. We love it. And the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, thank you.
It's always a pleasure. And again, you know, Ray, you know, whatever.
We got to get our shots in. We only see him once every 6 months. We see him around WrestleMania. And maybe we'll get him at SummerSlam.
Yeah, Ray is the Brock Lesnar of this show.
Exactly. When he's touring, we get to see him.
Little uncomfortable with that connection. But I appreciate
that's why I said it, okay?
I appreciate it.
You're on that Tribal Chief schedule. How's that?
I'll take
it. He's on that Final Boss schedule is what he is.
Yeah.
Hey. Just be careful of all the trash you're talking, Rob, because the call ain't happened yet. You might not get invited.
Oh, he's been disinvited. Oh, no.
Let me get out of here before the heat turns up. I will fly down to your house, and I will kick in your door.
Man, come on, let your boy. All y'all are invited down to Houston, you know. Anytime you're down here, I'll let your boy.
I need to get out. My brother lives in Houston, man, so I got two really good excuses to get over that way.
Come holler at me, man. We'll go do something. We'll hang out. I'll show you.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, Rob, I'll see you Saturday, buddy.
Yes.
Ooh.
All right, guys. I am DJ. I'm going to get out of here or else we're going to sit here and talk about shit all night long, and it'll be a four-hour podcast. I'm not going to do that to you. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week. All right, and...
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.